Come on, Dre, let's do this. Make it up, make it up.
It's time. It's time. Oh, yeah. Talking sports with the 12th man. If you didn't know, the time is now. Today is Tuesday. We're back on our regular. Yeah, you got to recognize that we're back on our regularly scheduled night. Today, of course, is Tuesday, June the 3rd. Time is flying, but we are here and we're ready to get this party started. I'm Andre Peterson. Talking sports with 12th man. I always got to check in with my co-host, Mr. Robert Ford. How you doing, Rob?
Man, doing great. How about you?
Man, I'm excited. I'm hitting, man. You know, it's another day. Beautiful thing, man. Let's get this party started, man. So, as always, I got to set the stage if you are ready to call into the show. For those that have been waiting and anticipating, the number to call in and give us a shout-out, it's 424-243-9519. Also, we are available on Twitter. If you want to follow us on Twitter, shoot us some notes. It's actually the number 12, C-H-M-A-N Sports. And finally, I know Rob is excited. We're also on Facebook. So if you go to facebook.com/12thmansports, or if you put in Talking Sports the 12th Man, you will find us as well. Woo! How about that, Rob?
Let's make it do what it do.
Got a lot of fun topics, you know. So first and foremost, kind of front and center, we are ready to preview the NBA Finals, which is something that we anticipated coming for this show. And, Rob, right now, I guess the question on everyone's mind is regarding the Spurs. Tony Parker, I know he had a little an ankle injury, didn't play the second half of or the last part of the game or the second half of the game. Do you think this is going to affect the Spurs' chances, and how do you think this series is going to play out? Do you think the Heat are going to pull this out, or do you think that the Spurs, who have an extremely deep team and handled a very talented OKC team, do you think they have a shot to win the series?
Well, I think both teams definitely have a shot at winning this series, including, you know, I think it's a pretty tough call on who is going to win the series. I really do. I think we're looking at another great series similar to what we had last year. I'm thinking 6 to 7 games. Tony Parker, he's not 100%, but we do expect him to play, obviously, and be ready to play in game one. And I'm thinking, you know, this is this is going to be a great series. I'm going to lean slightly toward the Heat pulling this out for a couple of reasons. Number one, we talked about the Tony Parker injury. You know, I think in this series they're going to need a healthy Tony Parker. And, Miami Heat still have the best player on the planet. And I think when it all comes down to it, he's going to will his team to victory and win this series in about 6 or 7 games.
There's two teams, there's two players that you have to worry about, obviously, with Dwayne Wade, his health. You know, he's been having he's been resting up. but we talked about the rematch factor, Rob, in that the Spurs seem like a very focused team, sir. They've been, talking about this all summer. You've been hearing Tim Duncan as far as his comments going back and forth. So I think this is gonna be a great series because, you know, you got the will of the Heat on one side because the Heat, they want to be – went to those great teams, Rob, the Celtics in the past that, you know, that have had the three-peats, which is pretty ironic. And another thing I want to talk about, we're talking about storylines. Wouldn't it be ironic if Greg Oden gets a ring before Kevin Durant? Oh, man. I'll just say that's just one thing,
yeah.
You know, I don't know. But anyway, it's just one of those weird things I thought about. But, you know.
Luckily on Greg Oden's part, though.
Yeah, kind of interesting how the one, see, that would have been ironic, too. But, you know, yeah, some things to think about, Rob. I mean, you got kind of you got both sides of the fray here in that, you, like I said before, you got, like, a team like the Spurs, you know, they've been thinking about this rematch all of last season, so it's kind of propelled them to this point. So they're looking focused. And then on the flip side, once again,
well, yeah,
like
I think
I said
when you
earlier,
look at this, I think both teams have some serious motivation here. Obviously, with the way the Spurs lost in the finals last year, Ray Allen hit the big-time three in Game 6. And then, of course, Miami Heat came back and won Game 7 as well. So there's a lot of motivation on the Spurs' part. They say they've thought about that loss all off season. And you have to commend the Spurs for having the focus and the drive to make it back to this point after a devastating loss last year. So obviously there is some motivation on the Spurs' part, but I think there's some also motivation on the Miami Heat's part as well. LeBron James wants to go down as one of the greatest players, if not the greatest players of all time, and he knows he's going to be measured by how many championships he's won. So I think there is a serious motivation on his part to continue to win championships. And I think Tim Duncan's comments the other night is motivating the Heat as we speak. If you go back to the interview, Tim Duncan made the comments that we're going to get it done this year. And I think if you listen to the Miami Heat players, that set home with them as well. So it's going to be a lot of motivation factors in this as well. You know, and the Miami Heat's been there before. You know, the Indiana Pacers have lost to the Heat the last 2 years. Now they've lost to them 3 years in a row. So they've been against teams that have wanted to come back and have revenge. Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett has lost to the Heat for about 3-4 years in a row now as well. And there's been some motivation on their part to finally unseat that. You even go back to the Michael Jordan days. I mean, the last time we've seen two teams face each other in back-to-back years in the finals was the 97-98 finals with the Bulls versus Jazz. And the Bulls were able to overtake the Jazz in both of those years as well.
Got it. Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's interesting, and you made some great comments too. So, you know, it's one of those situations where we're going to see how everything plays out. Like you talked about Duncan's comments, how motivates the Heat. You know, I don't think as much as we anticipated, you know, we wanted to kind of have the OKC, Heat option. This is going to be a great rematch, and I think it's going to be great to see actually how everything plays out for sure, Ron.
Absolutely. I think we couldn't ask for a better finals, in my opinion. This is what I expected most of the season, and to get to this point between these two teams, and here we are. And so I think we're looking for a great, entertaining series. It's going to be great basketball.
Good job. Before we talk about the NBA draft here, I do want to make a quick note about the Pistons bringing back Jeff Bauer as a general manager. What do you think about this move? Is this kind of like a move to kind of bring back some old nostalgia? Or I know Joe Dumars is kind of on his way out there. So what do you think about this move? Is this a good move for the Pistons, or is this one of those moves that may come back and bite him, Rob?
Well, I think it's a shocking move, in my opinion. You hire Stan Van Gundy as new head coach and director of basketball operations. And Jeff Bauer, in my opinion, is a below-average general manager. And so it was kind of very shocking, in my opinion. Obviously, he's got some history in the league as a scout with the Spurs, and he was once a general manager for the Hornets. But I don't see where this was like a dynamic hire for the Detroit Pistons. I thought Stan Van Gundy was a decent hire, but I'm not that crazy about the hire of Jeff Bauer. I don't think they upgraded themselves. I think it was time for a change. I think Joe Dumars has ran his course, and I think at one time he was one of the best general managers in the league. So I'm not going to argue with it being time for change, but I don't think they took the next step from Joe Dumars. I think they've downgraded themselves at the general manager position.
Yeah, it's been interesting. Like I said, I agree with you in that it was definitely time for a change, Rob. Maybe this was not the move. Maybe they wanted to go kind of – sometimes you want to go the total opposite direction. But, you know, like I said, the Pistons are – I think they're trying to grab for anything, you know, at this juncture. So we'll see how it plays out, if it was a good move, if it was a crazy move. So, you know, you have to question motivation for sure, Rob.
Absolutely. Well, we'll have to see. Maybe he's going to prove us wrong. But the early prognosis is I don't like it.
Rob has spoken. He does not like it at all. So let's keep it moving here, Rob, and let's talk a little bit more about the NBA draft that's actually upon us. And I guess we can spend a good amount of time talking about this, too. So if you want to give us your thoughts, once again, I'm going to throw out the numbers one more time. Once again, 424-243-9519, 424-243-9519 is actually the number to call into the show. And I've been kind of monitoring a lot of the workouts, Rob. You have done a mock draft, if you will, and we'll have to post that again. And there's three players that want the top position, Rob: Andrew Wiggins, Jabari Parker, and Joel Embiid. And I guess in the workouts that I was reading, it seems like Andrew Wiggins has clearly, not that he needed that, but he had a really good workout, Rob. He was showing he was pretty aggressive. I know they said he was watching tape of Kobe, of Michael, and he tried to trying to practice a couple of signature moves of those players. And also, Embiid was kind of, adding to some of the things that he had been having, because apparently he had been playing for a minute, and everyone was nervous about his health, and he kind of showed some things as well. But it looks like Parker came away with the most impressive workout, in that he just kind of attacked the rim, and he was just going harder. And I guess they talked about how it reminded them of the workout with Damian Lillard. So, do you think that Parker has made his move, or do you still think that Andrew Wiggins is the clear number one pick for the Cleveland Cavaliers?
Well, I think Parker definitely. If you look at my draft from last week to this week, I did move Parker on one slot. I had him at number three. I moved him up to number two now. I still think Wiggins is the number one guy at the moment. He's the better athlete. He's tremendous in the open floor. He's going to be your better defender as well. Not to be redundant, to repeat some of the things that were said on last week, but you have to wonder. I think your only question mark with Wiggins is, will he be effective in a half-court game? So that's what you're going to have to get him to excel in. But in open court, fast breaks, defensively, he's going to get his hands on a lot of balls and steals and score on the open floor. And with Cleveland, more than likely going to lose Lou Aldean, he will probably be the perfect pickup. And you look at Jabari Parker, you look at the Milwaukee situation. Last week I had them taking Joel Embiid at number two. But when you really look at this team, they need some scores. They need some scoring. And Jabari Parker will give them that right away. They need a guy that can come in and score some points. And Milwaukee doesn't really have that guy on their roster as we speak. And that's why they're the worst team in the NBA. And Jabari Parker can give them that. That was one of the main reasons why I made the switch. Parker, they need some scoring, and he may be the best scorer coming into the draft. Then when you look at Embiid, there is some slight concern about a knee there, but he's an athletic big man that can run the floor. He's going to get you your block shots and rebounds, and these guys just don't grow on trees.
Good stuff, Rob. I like it, man. That's some good feedback. Yeah, I mean, I think you nailed it right on the head with Milwaukee. Definitely needed some scoring. The Bucks, they've kind of been going through a little downward, swing here. And it kind of sucks, man. You'd love to see what would happen if Brandon James would have stuck around, man. And they could have been building on a lot of different things, too. But, it's neither here nor there now. But good points. I definitely think that that's the perfect fit for Milwaukee. And then if you're the 76ers, you may be a little disappointed, but maybe you kind of build for the future and getting probably the best, a better big man, athletic big man, and maybe you can add another piece, down the fray. Do you think that there's an opportunity for them to trade down, Rob? Do you think they're kind of stuck right there, or what are your thoughts about this?
Well, I don't know. It's maybe a little bit hard to do that in the NBA draft, but when you look at the NBA, you have Nerlens Noel, you got Michael Carter Williams. Mm-hmm. You still have a Thaddeus Young. You're probably still going to have to improve yourselves in the wing positions if you're to Philadelphia, if you're going to training camp with that roster. But if you look at it for the future, Joel Embiid and Nerlens Noel could give you a pretty dynamic front court.
And it's got the Twin Towers back up again, seems like.
Absolutely.
That happens. Yeah, you know what? So let's keep moving here. So if you're Orlando, Rob, you are probably skipping, jumping up and down, because you got probably the best guy in your position. Dante Exum is right there in your lap, Rob, because as we talked about earlier, Jameer Nelson, his contract is up for the year. you know, they can really have a dynamic front court, or excuse me, back court with Oladipo that's already there, and you get like Dante Exum. You know, Orlando's future is looking up very, very quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. You make some really good points there. And Dante Exum, I tell you what, Philadelphia is strongly looking at him at number three, but I'm going to say at the moment they would still take Embiid over him just because of the Michael Carter Williams aspect. But there are some in the Philadelphia organization feel like Exum is better than Carter Williams and would even be willing to trade Carter Williams and take Exum. So we have to watch that scenario. I think at the moment, I think they would still take Embiid over Dante Exum because at least Carter Williams has at least somewhat proven himself, and you don't want to kind of go with the unknown. And so I say they stick with Embiid for the moment. But, yeah, in Orlando's case, they will be ecstatic. Jameer Nelson, this is the last year of his contract coming up. Dante Exum gives you a point guard with great size, great vision, can slide over to the 2-4 as well, dynamic player as well.
This is pretty interesting, Rob. So you've got Utah kind of making a switch here, moving out and getting Aaron Gordon, the power forward from Arizona. Why do you think that that he's going to be drafted so high for Utah? This is a pretty surprising move, Rob.
Yeah, this is obviously one of the changes in my draft from last week as well. Aaron Gordon might be the most athletic big man, you know, in this draft, or athletic power forward, I would say. The guy can jump out of the arena. He's got the length. Obviously, he still needs some work and mechanically on his offensive game. But from an athletic standpoint, and the NBA like these guys with length and that athleticism. And he's been great in a lot of his workouts. So watch this kid here. He's got the genes. He's got the bloodlines. I think Aaron Gordon's younger brother. Eric Gordon, I'm sorry. And so watch this kid here at number five. You know, he's one of the guys that made the biggest move in my mock draft from last week to this week. And it's mainly, like I said, he's got all athleticism. Then when you look at it from a potential standpoint, his ceiling is pretty high.
So it's pretty interesting how you picked him over Noah Vonleh, the talented power forward from Indiana. Why would you kind of make the switch as far as him over Aaron Gordon, Rob?
Well, the main thing is Aaron Gordon defensively and athletically. Vonleh is also a pretty decent athlete, but Eric Gordon's size and attributes and athleticism is a couple of notches above Vonleh, and I think that's going to be the difference here. And you look at Gordon, he played on the winning team last year as well. And so that says a lot, and he got it done on, you know, the defensive end with defensive and rebounding.
So you got them going to the Boston Celtics following that, which is a great move. And just like I said, I think it's interesting, you know, because you know, Jeff Green is kind of like, you know, trying to be the guy as well as, you know, you've got Rondo. So, you know, it looks like Boston may go back to that traditional team. I know they've had Jaren Sollinger there. You know, maybe they're trying to fill in out some pieces here. So we'll see how that kind of fits in, you know, as far as with the Boston Celtics, Rob.
Absolutely.
Now, this is a huge – this is interesting. So the way that you have everything going right now, another happy team would be the Los Angeles Lakers. Julius Randle lasting that long at number seven. You know, what do you think about that? Do you think they may spring a move for a Marcus Smart? I'm kind of curious to think – this is probably the best player available in the best situation for Lakers at number seven.
Well, I have Randle dropping a little bit. I had him at number five last week going to Utah. But here's your concern with Randle. He's got the physical presence. He can score in the post. But there's some NBA executives that wonder, can he get his shot off in the NBA over the athletic big men? That's your concern. He's got short arms for his height. He's not the athlete that Gordon and Vonleh is, even though as far as from a post-move standpoint, he may be a little bit ahead of those guys. But you know, in the NBA, it's all about the athleticism and the length, and they're going to coach up everything else.
Gotcha. So we keep moving here. Sacramento, Rob. Sacramento here is sitting at number eight. There's been rumors that they are not ashamed to trade the pick, but if they do decide to stay put, you've got them taking Marcus Smart. Are they in the market for a point guard, Rob? Is that what it kind of seems like from your vantage point, sir?
They can definitely use a real point guard. They can use a lot of things when you look at their roster. I mean, DeMarcus Cousins might be the only player you want to say, hey, we maybe can build our team around him if you can keep his head on straight. But Marcus Smart, you know, if you'd have came out last year, it would have been easily a top three pick in the draft. He's going to slide a little bit on this one just from slightly off the field concerns. Didn't quite play with the same effort as he did as his first year. But I think once he gets on the team, I think he's got a chance to be a Rookie of the Year in the NBA. I really do.
Oh, wow. Rookie of the Year over Jabari Parker, Andrew Wiggins, Dante Exum. You really think that?
I think he's right up there as far as competing for Rookie of the Year. I think he can come in and be an instant starter, instant contributor. He's got the size. He's got the smarts. No pun intended. but I think he's got the basketball IQ.
Love it. So number nine, a guy that Hawks fans, we are keeping an eye on, Doug McDermott, the scoring champion from Creighton. You've got him going number nine. You know, I'm not sure this is a perfect fit, but talk us about this option here at why you think the Charlotte was picking at number nine right here.
Well, obviously, you know, there are some concerns about him athletically, but I think what you're looking at here, in my opinion, is a guy that can come off the bench, be a 6'7" man, a guy that can come in and get you buckets. You need guys like this on your team. You saw the Miami Heat last year win championship with Mike Miller, getting clutch three-pointer as a clutch three-pointer.
Yep.
You want Kimball Walker being a penetrator and kicking out to your shooters, and this guy can shoot the lights out.
Yeah, like you said, he didn't leave the was he like the scoring champion and whatnot, so explosive score. Good move. You know, I know there's some questions about his athleticism, you know, guarding the NBA, so we'll see how he plays out and if he has a good career. Because they do have places for you, Rob, if you can shoot the ball.
Absolutely.
Now let's talk about Zach LaVine here. Here you've got him as your next pick. So this is the Philadelphia. So Philly gets two picks. So they're going to circle around. So if all goes well, if they don't get, you know, Dante Exum at number three, they circle back around, you know, they're adding to this. So now you're going to say they're going to get a point guard here. Tell us about Zach LaVine. This dude has really, really explosive, you know, capabilities here, Rob. Electric speed, quickness. This is he could be a pretty sleeper, Rob, as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mentioned earlier when we talked about Joel Embiid, Philadelphia is going to have to get better at the wing positions. And one thing about Zach LaVine, he can play the point, but he can also play the two position. And he's a very good athlete. So he's a guy that can give you some flexibility in what he can do. He can bring the ball up. He can play off the ball. And, you know, this could be a really good move to help them teams to get, you know, some athletic ability on that two and three positions.
Yeah, I think he found out he's really young right now, Rob. You know, you hope that he can develop his game. But he's an intriguing player, just, you know, flashy style, highlight dunker, like you said, very athletic character for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, this is really improves them from an athletic standpoint on the wing positions.
We got about 6 minutes to go here. We're keeping it moving. I'm going to throw the numbers one more time as we get ready to get to the last part of the show. 424-243-9519. We got about to five, right at 6 minutes, Rob. Let's keep moving. Mock draft. We're talking mock, and we're going mocking here as far as mock draft. And we've gone all the way through our 10 picks, and now we have Denver taking Gary Harris. Tell us about Gary Harris, Rob. For those that are like, who is Gary Harris? What's this guy about?
Well, he's the toughest nails basketball player. He's 6'4", and he's got the capability of leading your team in rebounding. That's how tough it is, he is, I should say. But he's coached by Tom Izzo. We all know how tough his players normally are. I don't see a guy that's going to be a starter in the NBA. I see a guy that can come in and be your third guard off the bench and can help you in a lot of different ways.
we talked about, you know, Dante Exum sort of is our first international player, but we've got more Americans going, Robin, and, you know, so he can kind of go either or. But our second international player, our true international player, is Dario Saric. I hope I got that name correct, from Croatia. We talked about him, long guy. I know we've had some comparisons to some great NBA past players from Tony Kukoc and whatnot. You know, and this is another pick here. It looks like it's Orlando kind of doubling up here if they get this move. So is this a situation where he's going to come into play immediately, or we talked about it last week? Stash, what are your thoughts about Dario?
More likely Dario is going to play one more year overseas, then come to the NBA next year. And I think, you know, you have to be a team that's willing to take a risk here, waiting a year for him. And I think if you look at the Orlando Magic team, even if they draft another rookie right here, you don't expect this team to be in the playoffs next year. I mean, it's completely in a rebuilding phase. So you could be take the risk of drafting a guy that could really help you out for many, many years to come. And you can stash him away for a year and then have him ready for next year along with another draft pick. You continue to grow and continue to build your organization back up.
Minnesota, they have been in the news, Rob, obviously what's been happening with Kevin Love. Do you think Kevin Love's going to get traded, Rob, first and foremost? And you've got James Young going to Minnesota. You know, can they load up on some picks? What do you think about this opportunity? And tell us a little about James Young as we get ready to wrap up the live portion of the show.
Yeah, Kevin Love, obviously, I still think he's going to be with the Timberwolves at least one more year, unless some teams just come with the right deal. But I kind of see him still being with the Timberwolves. You look at James Young, he's a guy who's a lights-out shooter, and he's got decent athletic ability. But some areas of his game he's going to have to improve. He would definitely help you fill out the stat sheet with some three-pointers.
Love it, love it. The next guy, let's move on. We've got Phoenix, Nick Stauskas. I butchered his name. What's his name? Stauskas? I'm going to butcher that.
Nick,
I apologize, man. Yeah, the talented guard from Michigan. I know where you're at, Nick, so don't come after me. You know, we talked about it last week. I'm still surprised that he's going to get drafted over the much-heralded Greg Robinson III. But, yeah, what do you think about this move going to Phoenix, Rob?
Well, he's another guy that can really shoot the basketball, and he's got a good basketball IQ as well. So it's another guy that can come out and help you right away, come off the bench and score, be another number three guard in the league, a three guard on your team, I'm sorry. So he's a guy that can come in and help you right away.
Gotcha. We have officially 2 minutes left in the show, Rob, so at this time I know you'd love to do your little spiel. I'm going to reset the show for next week as well as the OT portion of Talking Sports with the 12th Man.
Yes, people, you definitely don't want to miss us on next week, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 5 p.m. for our friends in Hawaii. We're going to be talking more preparation for the NBA draft, updating you on the NBA Finals, of course. We have a lot of other things to talk. We're getting ready to get into the NFL and college football season, so we'll start making our way to our preview on that as well here in the coming weeks. So don't want to miss it. If you want to continue to listen to our NBA draft preview, click on the same link that you're on right now. Click on it tomorrow, and you'll be able to catch the remainder of this information in our OT portion.
As he always does, Rob so eloquently puts that down. Don't forget to follow us via Facebook. If you want to go to our page, we've got some likes. Talking Sports with the 12th Man, which is fantastic, as well as following us via Twitter. Once again, the number 12, THMAN Sports, is our Twitter handle. We'll keep an eye out as far as all that. I know we've been getting a lot of love as far as that, too. So, you know, it's been a great opportunity. We want to thank you for listening in. Don't forget, as we keep moving, we're going to talk a little bit more about the mock draft. We didn't get a chance to talk about Nick Saban, Rob. I wanted to briefly touch on that, but maybe we'll do that really quick, the first part of the OT portion as we wrap up the mock draft. But is there anything else you want to say before we get ready to go to the OT portion of the show?
Let's get right to it.
All right. As always, thank you for listening. For those to the live portion, don't forget to click on the link, and you can archive and listen to it as always. And feel free to comment, give us your post, and we definitely would love to hear that as we get ready to go OT. Thanks, people.
Good night, people.
Yes, sir. We are officially into the OT portion. And I do want to ask real quick before we keep moving, because we can keep talking draft until until we get nuts about it. But Nick Saban recently, Rob, if you didn't know, for our listeners out there, obviously got a new deal, $55 million through 2022. Question, Rob, do you think Nick Saban is worth it?
This is a tough one here. I mean, do I believe he's the best college football head coach? And I would say definitely with a resounding yes. I want to say it's probably a little much for a college football coach, you know, using taxpayer dollars at a state college. You know, I'm thinking maybe in the $5 to $6 million range, but this is close to the $8 million range a year. And, you know, the highest paid head coach in the NFL at the moment is Sean Payton, who's making $8 to $8.5 million a year. And obviously we all know the NFL is a more grueling job than a college football job. So I don't think Nick Saban should be in the same salary range as Sean Payton and Bill Belichick, who are the top two highest paid coaches in the NFL as we speak.
But Rob, he's built a legacy yet, Rob. They've always been in the hunt. It's Alabama, for God's sake. He's getting the best recruits, best facilities. Why is he not worth it, in the words of Maybelline? Why not? Come on, man.
Well, once again, I don't think the top college football coach should be in the same ballpark as the top NFL coach. The NFL seasons are longer, it's more grueling, and it's more work, and that's just my personal opinion. I think he's a great coach, the best in college football, but I think his salary should be a little bit less than that.
Let's talk real quick about London. I think it's been discussed as far as them getting a franchise, which is a pretty interesting call. I think L.A. is definitely in the mix. I think it will be cool, Rob, to have a London NFL franchise. Not sure how this would actually play out, but I think it's a good idea to throw around. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I mean, I don't like it from a standpoint of travel. I think it's too far to ask a team in America to travel that far for a road game. So I'm not that crazy about the idea of London having its own NFL team. I like to see if you are going to, the NFL is definitely trying to expand. There's two cities that I will continue to look at, and that's Los Angeles and Toronto. If you're going to go international, keep it in Canada. And, you know, nearby where it's not that big of an effect on travel. And then, of course, you know, Los Angeles has been without an NFL team since 1995, going on 20 years, second largest TV market in the country. So you like to see one of those two cities move back into it.
They're going to get his franchise. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. I mean, obviously you've heard the owners of the Dolphins making comments about that, how it's a perfect scenario. So we'll see how that plays out for sure. I think we have to add another team, Rob, to kind of even it out, if I'm not mistaken. But they're going to get a franchise for sure. I wholeheartedly believe that too, sir.
Well, yeah, I think you made some really strong points there as well. And we'll have to wait and see. I know the NFL is strongly considering expanding right now, and they seem to have that itch right now to expand.
Let's keep moving back to the NBA mock draft. I'm curious, too, because I like how you've got Shabazz, my guy Napier, going a little later. And if he goes where you have him going, you talk about the rich getting richer, but we're going to power through this as we get ready to wrap it up. Number 15, we've got the Hawks, surprising Hawks, taking Rodney Hood. And if we're a Hawks fan, why would we be excited about this player as far as the structure? Whenever we have a little Odeng possibly out there too. So why do you think this is a great pick for the Hawks right here?
Well, remember, in the NBA, the draft comes before free agency.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying.
So Are you going to pick a player of need probably in the draft before you will worry about free agency because you don't know what you're getting? And so if you're the Hawks, you know, Rodney Hood gives you some athleticism and a very good shooter as well. And so, you know, you have your Al Horfords and your Paul Millsap. If you can get a player of a Rodney Hood's caliber, you could be set at the front court area.
That's all you got for me? I'm thinking more, but I appreciate that, man. Okay. I like that. Chicago, Jeremy Grant is the next pick that you have for them. Chicago seems to be, you know, they're still ruling Rob over, you know, over what's been happening with Derrick Rose. This dude has some of the worst luck right now. But, you know, tell us a little about Jeremy Grant here, you know, the small forward from Syracuse.
Yeah, well, you know, here we go once again. Tom Thibodeau is a big believer of defense. Jeremy Grant will be able to defend right away in the NBA. His scoring may come around a little bit slower, but he'll be able to help you defend the athletic wing players from day one.
Keep it moving here. You got Elfrin Payton going to Boston here. Seems like there's a lot of teams that have two picks in the rounds, Rob. Like we talk about, Andre's conspiracy theory is alive and well. You got the I'm messing. So you got Boston here taking Payton here. I guess tell us about a little bit about the thought process behind this move because I'm looking up each pick. I kind of go through here and I get a quick check to see where they are. Thought process. He's a point guard. Is this saying anything about Rondo, if you will, or why do you think they would make a quick move? He's almost being compared to like a Devin Harris, like a Rajon Rondo.
Well, Payton, he's a combo guard, but he's also got great athleticism. He can run a point, he can play the two, but he can also jump out of the gym. He's 6'4". He can be a solid defender for you as well. Obviously, I don't think they're going to trade Rondo until they see what he's about at the next level. And we'll kind of wait and see what happens after that. But I think he's a great player.
You got Phoenix taking Adrian Payne. If you're the my sons, you're probably like, who? But tell us about this Adrian Payne. He's a 6'10 power forward from Michigan State. You can't question the toughness, Rob, at all.
No, not at all. You know, he's tough. He's got a good size. He's going to be a banger down there for you. And, you know, Phoenix could definitely use that kind of presence. We went Nick Stalkers with their first pick, give him some shooting. Now you get some physicality. A guy that's going to bang it around on the boards for you down there in Adrian Payne.
Like it. Got Chicago, Tyler Ennis here. You know, once again, Chicago getting two players here in this draft. I know they got some picks here in that particular instance. Tell us a little bit about the Tyler Ennis, point guard from Syracuse. Are they? I think this is he's a dynamic player, Rob. You know, if this happens, you know, can he share this some time with Derrick Rose, or is this kind of replacement for Derrick Rose? Tell me about what you think about this. And why would they go with him over Shabazz Napier?
Well, even though Shabazz Napier won a national championship, Ennis is a better pro prospect. He's got the lightning speed with the basketball. He can run a fast break a little bit more efficiently, doesn't turn the ball over. And so he's going to give you something a little extra. And yes, I would think you can slide Rose over to the two sometimes with Tyler Ennis. And if push comes to worse, you know, you have to protect yourselves with Derrick Rose's injuries, and Tyler Ennis could be the guy. They can help you at the point guard position while Rose is out.
So Ron, at number 20, hasn't taken Jordan Clarkson. Jordan Clarkson, you know, no relation to Kelly Clarkson, by the way. But this is an interesting pick too because some people say he may go a little later. You know, quick guard, pretty good athleticism. Told us about. I don't think his game. He's anything kind of stands out right now, Rob. Is that correct, or do you think there's anything kind of stands out with Jordan?
Well, Jordan Clarkson, I think if you look at it here, Toronto has got a situation where Kyle Lowry is going to be a free agent, and so you're going to need to replace him and Gravis Vaquez, who's going to be a restricted free agent. So those are two of your key players that you may be without. And so he's got to need, you know, to be able to come in and be a possible replacement if you lose Gravis Vaquez as well as Kyrie Irving.
Number 21, we're almost done. We got five more picks here, and we'll wrap this up. We got 5 minutes, see if we can knock it out. OKC, Rob, if they somehow nab Shabazz Napier, I'm a huge fan of Shabazz because his will to win. I'm not saying that it's a thing, but I think this is a great move just to have that type of will. I mean, he has to grow into it, but a great player, Rob, and I'm surprised he's lasted this long.
Well, yeah, obviously his he doesn't project to go any further than this, but I think he's a guy that can be a solid backup point guard in the NBA. I think he can come off the bench and you can slide Russell Westbrook over to the two, and Napier is going to be that true point guard. So I think this would be a great situation for him because I think he can really help out OKC.
Wow. Love it. Let's keep moving here. We're almost done here. Let's talk about the Memphis. Kyle Anderson going to Memphis. Your thoughts about Kyle?
Well, you know, there's some concern about the small forward position for Memphis right now. Tayshaun Prince looked like his game is eroding a little bit. Kyle Anderson come in and handle the ball as a small forward. He can shoot the rock with the best of them. I think he can really help this Memphis team.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, good stuff, man. I'm kind of power along because we're wrapping up. You thought KJ McDaniel. Who's KJ McDaniel? We'll keep moving here, but tell us about this pick. Yeah, he's from Clemson. I think he's a junior from Clemson, if I'm not mistaken, small forward. Is that correct?
Yeah, he's a small forward, great defender with decent athleticism. And, you know, he's going to help you be able to guard those talented twos and threes in the NBA.
Got it, man. We're still moving, Rob. We got about 4 minutes left. I do want to give you some time to get through this. Charlotte Clint Capela, tell us about him as well.
Well, he's a power forward from Switzerland. Obviously, he's going to learn the NBA game.
Switzerland,
and,
I love it.
Usually don't take these it wouldn't take that long. These foreign players don't really take that long. But I think he'll definitely have a learning curve in his first year.
We got through the draft. The 25th pick, the last pick, goes to Houston getting the last pick. You have Houston, Rob, taking none other than Cle'Anthony Early. And I'm glad that you let me say that last name too, Rob, because I was concerned if I said the name wrong. But Cle'Anthony is our pick here. Tell us about Cle'Anthony, small forward, power forward from Wichita State.
Well, he's a winner, and he's tough as nails, and he's going to give it to you. He's going to do everything he can to help his team to win. He's going to be a great defender, a rebounder, and he'll score when he has to. He's tough as nails. He's physical, and he's definitely a guy you will want to have on your team.
Gotcha. Thank you so much, Rob. We got to the draft. We got 2 minutes. Go ahead and set the show up as we get ready to wrap up another great edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Rob, you still with me? What happened, Rob? Still there? All right.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yes, definitely. You all want to definitely join us on next week. You don't want to miss it. We continue to talk in the NBA draft. We're going to be coming weeks previewing the NBA finals as well as getting into the NFL and college football season coming up in a few weeks. So you definitely want to stay with us and do not want to miss next week's show.
Thank you so much, as always, Rob. Great show. We will end it on that note. As always, looking forward to next week. Be safe, be good. Thank you, and have a good evening.
Good night, people.